Today we're beginning this time of pastoral renewal in our diocese, and it just seems so appropriate that we have, well, like perhaps one of the most difficult of all the parables in all of the Gospels. Preaching on this parable is a little bit of a challenge because, well, it's a little extreme, don't you think? And it is extreme because Jesus is wanting to get our attention. He's wanting us to hear the key message of this story. And it is this: don't lose the plot of the story of God's saving love. Let me say that again. Do not lose the plot of the story of God's saving love. What is the plot? It's the outworking of the narrative. And what Jesus wants us to understand is in the history of Israel, in the history of the church, so often we lose the storyline. And so we need to hear it again. We need to be reminded of it. And this parable does it in a very particular way. So how do we lose the plot of the story? Well, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, the temptation of the devil, where the devil says to Adam and Eve, listen, make yourselves the center of the story. It's actually a story about you. And God, well, you can put him over on the sideline because he's sort of a secondary character. And that's what happens when we lose the plot line. We lose the one who is the central character, who is God. And it's not only in Genesis chapter 3 that we see this happening. It happens again and again and again in the Old Testament. And Jesus, in telling the parable, uses the story of the servants. The servants who come to the vineyard and to the tenants and they say, hello, remember, this vineyard does not belong to you. It's been entrusted to your care, but it belongs to another. But the tenants said, this is our vineyard. We're going to do with it what we want to. And so Jesus says, what the tenants do is they kill one of the servants, they stone another one, and they then kill and they treat another one in a terrible way. Do you know how the prophet Jeremiah was killed under the time of King Manasseh, who was one of the most dastardly kings? Isaiah was sawn in two. Do you know how Jeremiah was killed? He was taken down to Egypt, where he said, guys, let's not go down to Egypt. No, no, no. They said, we're not listening to you, Jeremiah. So they took him down to Egypt, and they stoned him to death. So when Jesus says in today's parable that they killed one and they stoned another, he was talking about Isaiah, and he was talking about Jeremiah. And then there were other prophets that were sent, and they treated them the same way. This seems to be our problem. We have problem remembering the plot line. We have problem remembering who is the one who is at the center of the story. And so in order to try to convey it in beautiful poetry, that prophet who was sawn in two wrote a love poem. And Judy read it beautifully as our Old Testament lesson. Listen to these words now as a love song. And the one who is the composer is Isaiah. And the beloved of whom he is writing is God. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning my vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it, he cleared it of stones, and he planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in its midst. He hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, and it yielded wild grapes. And then as the story has gone on, as Judy read it, we hear that what had happened was this vineyard, which was to be a place of beauty, a place of joy, becomes a place of violence and bloodshed. And so we have to have all of this in mind as we get to today's gospel reading. What do we understand about the vineyard? Well, for us, we see its fulfillment that the vineyard is the church gathered, the church universal, and the grapes are our lives. And what the grapes are to represent are those who are discovering what it is to live the story where we're not losing the plot line, where we're remembering that the lover, the central character, God, wants to give us his grace-filled, redeeming love. Remember this, what do grapes in the Bible represent? Woohoo! They represent vitality. They represent life. They are the basis of wine. Do you know what happens in the lives of people that are learning and remembering the plot line? It doesn't mean our lives are easy, but boy, they have a richness. They have a purpose. They have a direction because we know where we fit into the larger story. Well, what about that larger story? One more point about the parable. Remember, I've told you this before. Every parable of Jesus has a twist, meaning that when the original hearers heard it, they would have said, that's the dumbest story ever. This has that kind of, this is the dumbest story ever twist, and here's the dumbest story ever. That when the owner of the vineyard says, I have a great idea, I'm going to send my son. Like, what kind of father is this? You are one dumb dad. What they did to your servants, they're going to do to your son. And yet he sends him anyway, because this is no ordinary son, and this is no ordinary father. This is, of course, Jesus. And Jesus wants to so enter into the story, and here's why. We need the author of the story to come into it if we're going to understand it and remember it. Remember in the letter that our bishop read, he said that we begin this pastoral renewal on the feast day of St. Francis. And what was St. Francis called to do? He was called to restore the church. Let's just stop there for a minute. Think of that word, restore. Store. Story. He was called to, in a sense, I'm making up a word here. He was called to restore the church. He was called to remember the plot line. He was called to be one who indeed would rebuild the church. And get this, people. He inspired others. When they saw the passion, when they saw the commitment, when they saw the purpose of the life of this courageous man who gave up everything in the world in order to be God's man, it led to a renewal and a revival. And we need such a renewal. We need such a revival in our own day, because God does not want us to live as sour grapes. He wants the church to be a community where there is a vitality, there is a sweetness, there is a generosity, there is a life. And what does this kind of fruitfulness look like? Well, listen to these words from Philippians. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What does renewal mean for the church? It means to be this kind of community. I don't know about you. I do not see this kind of community on social media very often. I don't know about you. I haven't seen this kind of community in the church very often either. And that's the point of the spiritual renewal. The Lord is doing something in the church today because we're living in really hard times, in case you haven't noticed. It can't be just church as it has been. We are entering into a time that is more like the earliest centuries of the Christian period than ever before. And so we need a church that knows who we are and what we're about. We need a church who loves the Son and understands the story and says, I want to get to know the story more and more. I want to know this plot line. And so in conclusion, I want to just say these words. At the very heart of this four-year pastoral renewal is this motto. You are called, you matter, you belong. You are called, like St. Francis, who was touched by the Holy Spirit to know that he was part of the solution. And we need more people today who want to be part of the solution and don't want to just complain. We're called because we matter and we belong. It's my hope that as your pastor, that here at St. Peter's, we will discover evermore, Jesus, what an amazing gift you've given us. This is your vineyard. It doesn't belong to us, and it sure doesn't belong to me as a priest. Sometimes people say, oh, Father Jonathan, St. Peter's is your church. No, it's not. It's not my church at all. It's the church of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you want to be part of something that's renewing? Do you want to be part of something that's life-giving? Do you want to be part of the one Holy Catholic Church in the Diocese of Calgary that wants to grow in the vision that is about to be presented to you on the video?
The experience of the church for many has not always been easy. You shared this during the diocesan phase of the synod, when we invited you to talk about your journey with the church. Some shared feelings of hurt from the words and actions of some priests or of certain people in your parish. It's hard to shake off the memory of how you've been made to feel. We heard you say how much you love the church and how important the church is to you. You told us about the things you carry in your heart, like your concern for the youth, the challenges that they face, and how they seem to have lost the faith you handed on to them. You are troubled by what's going on in the world. You expressed many hopes for your parish and your desire for something more. You also spoke about your parish and the amazing impact that priests and parishioners have made in your life. You know that we all struggle and aren't perfect, but that there is always room to grow. Pope Francis said, "The parish is not an outdated institution, precisely because it possesses great flexibility and can assume quite different contours depending on the openness and missionary creativity of the pastor and the community." The Diocese of Calgary believes in this. Having listened to many of you during the Synod, we have a lot of work to do together as a church.
I call on all of you not to give up on the church and your parish, but for all of us to work together to rediscover the call of Jesus that we've received in our baptism. The mission of the church is carried out not only by priests and deacons, or even by me, your bishop, but by all of us who have been baptized. Therefore, as a church of the Diocese of Calgary, we are launching a pastoral renewal to help us focus our efforts in the parishes and as a diocese in living the life that Christ wants us to live and in sharing this good news with the world today.
With the pastoral renewal, Catholics in the Diocese of Calgary are called to be missionary disciples in Christ, to be a church of encounter and witness, and to strengthen family life. Our experience of the church will never be perfect apart from Christ, who continually calls us to conversion. This pastoral renewal is our commitment to follow Jesus and in being a sign and instrument of His presence in the world, especially in our parishes, in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, schools, and communities. Despite our shortcomings, we all play an important part in making Christ present wherever we are. We are all witnesses to the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. We invite you to rediscover the call of Christ in this pastoral renewal, and to realize how you are called. You matter, and you belong.